It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Hi, Howard. Very good indeed. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Right place, wrong tax we've got here today. It's a bit like right place, wrong time. But no, it's right place, wrong tax. So, Bill, can expatriates choose where they pay tax? For example, can UK nationals living in France or Spain choose whether to pay tax locally or continue paying tax in the UK?
That would be jolly good, wouldn't it? Then we would all select to pay tax on wherever our income came from under the most beneficial tax regime. So the answer to that is a simple no. You can't choose where you pay taxes if you live in Spain or France and certainly most other countries. You need to meet the rules as they are set down in the statute of the territories in which you have income or assets. You generally speaking, fall primarily liable to tax in the country you're resident or deemed to be resident and therefore subject to their domestic taxes. However, as with most things that are tax related, that isn't really always straightforward. Some income, such as, for example, UK rental income, that is likely to still continue to be taxable in Britain and also being liable to tax in the country in which you live, because that is to prevent tax being paid twice. The relevant UK double tax treaty determines which country has the taxing rights. And if in most cases you have rental income, for example, but you're living outside of the UK, you pay your tax at source in the UK on the rental income. You declare the rental income in the country in which you live to add with your other income to determine your top rate of tax. And then you get a tax credit for the amount of tax paid in the UK under the double tax treaty. Things get somewhat more complicated if you tend to split your time between the UK and the country in which you've chosen to live, or you let a property out in one country whilst you're living in another. So it isn't easy or straightforward, and it is a specialist area as far as advice is concerned. Most people just run with the basic rules and end up paying a considerable amount more tax than actually they need to. It is vital. If you have decided to become an expatriate, to make sure that you have positioned yourself such that you are paying the minimum amount of tax in any jurisdiction which has a taxing right over you, and that the person advising you understands the double tax treaty and how it can be manipulated under the law and legally to your best advantage.
Bill, with your years of experience, do you think that many people get this wrong? And how serious will the consequences be, after all, if they pay their tax just in the wrong country?
Oh, yeah, they get it wrong. I'm sorry to say this, Howard, but people do get it wrong all the time. And it's why they get it wrong. They get it wrong because if you've got property rental income, for example, in the UK, and you've had your tax deducted at source, it's understandable that you think you paid the tax on it. But if you're a tax resident of another country, that country also wants its share of the cake if it can get some. So as I say, you need to declare rental income, for example, in the country in which you're also resident and get a tax credit for what you paid in the UK. If the tax in the country in which you're resident has a higher rate of tax on that income than you paid in the UK, you'll have to pay a supplement. Unfortunately, if the tax liability in the country in which you're resident would have applied a lower level of tax than you actually paid on your rental income in the UK, you don't get a refund from either of them, I'm afraid. But the double tax treaty is there to avoid you paying tax on the same assets in each country. Remember, it's a general concept of law that the responsibility falls upon the individual to make him or herself known to the local tax authorities and to fully declare all of your income and your wealth according to the rules. And that a default in understanding the rules, an error, we might call it, isn't an acceptable excuse for getting it wrong. You're expected to get it 100% right. Anything less than that, you're risking tax penalties, fines, and in some cases, even worse.
So, Bill, can you run through now the Spanish domestic rules for what makes you a resident for tax purposes in Spain?
I think most people understand it, but there are still some general misconceptions. I mean, in Spain, you're a tax resident, Howard, if you spend more than 183 days in the country within a calendar year. And that is in 103 consecutive days. In a period from 1st January to 31st December, it's a cumulative total of more than 183 days, and you are de facto a tax resident of Spain. Now, even if you spend less time than that in Spain, you can become what's known as a deemed resident, i.e. that you don't actually live there for 183 days or more, but because of your circumstances, the Spanish tax authorities consider you to be a resident for tax purposes. And that's if your main professional activity, or indeed if most of your assets are based in Spain, or if your spouse and your dependent children live in Spain. So it's not, again, a straightforward, nothing about tax is straightforward, come to think of it, but it's not a straightforward set of circumstances. An individual who becomes a tax resident of Spain is liable to Spanish tax on the worldwide income, capital gains and wealth, and as I've mentioned earlier, even if you have income which is chargeable to tax under UK rules, property income for example, and you paid your tax on that, it doesn't mean that you don't declare that rental income for Spanish tax purposes. As I say, you will have to add it to your other income to determine your maximum rate of tax, and then you'll get a credit for the tax paid in the UK under the double taxation rules.
What about the other way round? Is it possible for British expatriates to think they're tax resident in Spain and pay taxes here when in fact they're tax resident in the UK? And what would you have to do to sort this out?
It is strange, Howard, how many misconceptions there are about whether you are or are not a resident. And it's one of the fundamental errors made by people who end up on the wrong end of a tax investigation. No one should ever be careless about the way in which they determine their residence. You must be counting your days. You must understand the rules implicitly well. The revenue understand the rules right through to their core. And as I said, if you make a mistake, that's your fault, not theirs. And the circumstances of an investigation can, in most cases, and are in most cases, quite life-changing. They can last 2 or 3 years, and you are always on your back foot when these things take place. Sometimes expatriates do assume that they're non-UK resident when they actually still are. I mean, in some cases, I don't want to go through the whole of the statutory residence test. We talked about that some weeks ago. Just to give you an extreme example, spending just 16 days back in the UK could unintentionally trigger UK tax residency. So if you're living in continental Europe, in Spain, but return to the UK for extended periods, you just take care to understand your liabilities. The rules are not simple, they're not straightforward, and a layman's approach to interpreting them has more often than not led to a misunderstanding. You need to be talking to, well, Blevins Frank, for example, have been helping clients understand precisely where they're resident, when they become resident, what benefits there might be to retaining a different position, and therefore to mitigate against unnecessary taxation wherever possible.
And what about if you live in Spain and have assets and earn income in the UK, or vice versa? Where do you pay tax then?
Of course, the statutes of the UK and of Spain clearly determine what assets, what income, what capital growth, what estate assets are liable to tax in their particular jurisdiction. And the rules are different. So that, for example, succession tax and UK inheritance tax, whilst both effectively death duties, the fact is there are opposites in these taxes that make it very complex. And of course, in Spain, for example, the double tax treaty does not cover the UK inheritance tax regime nor the Spanish succession tax regime. And indeed, you can end up being liable for tax on the same assets in both jurisdictions. There's a form of what's known as a unilateral relief, which eventually gets you relief from paying tax in both jurisdictions. But essentially, as I'm sure you'd understand, you end up paying the worst of both worlds. And the simple fact is that there is a procedure for going through the statutes of both the UK and Spain, which determines absolutely where your assets are chargeable to tax. And of course, the double tax treaty between Spain and the UK, which does cover income tax and capital gains tax, is there to prevent you paying tax on the same income twice. But you need to understand it. You need to know how you can manage the double tax treaty to best advantage, how you can position your assets, sometimes within third-party structures, which remove them, essentially, from income and capital gains tax, well within the law, but so that you reduce your liability to tax quite legally, by using effective structures under the regime that applies both in Spain and the UK.
And finally, Bill, what's your advice to people who want to live in Spain full-time but perhaps are put off by Spanish taxation?
Oh, you better come and talk to Blevins Franks. It would be an unwise decision to think that going to live in Spain, if you're a UK resident, is going to cost you more in taxation than you might otherwise pay if you remain a UK resident. So if you are put off by what the Spanish tax regime says at first sight, as I've said earlier on, you don't know what you don't know, whereas Blevins Frank's job is to understand the whole implications of an individual's personal, financial and tax planning affairs, to give them the benefit of tax planning to the extent to which there is no question, in my experience, that Spain offers a greater potential for legitimate tax avoidance than ever does the UK. In a sense, its taxing legislation is less mature, less thorough, and in some cases less effective. But it also offers a huge number of tax advantages to individuals if you understand how to set your affairs up. And that is essentially what has made Spain an attractive proposition from a tax point of view to hundreds of thousands of people who live in Spain, and from the clients of Blevins Franks who enjoy living in Spain and who are in almost every case paying significant tax on their invested assets than they would ever pay in the UK.
So how can people get in touch with Blevins Franks? I guess the website is a good place to start.
Yeah, I think the website's a decent place to kick off. I think if you look at the website, you'll get some idea of who we are, what we do. Some of the things we've just talked about will be there in the form of articles written for news journals, financial journals, and indeed some of these radio interviews are also there for your benefit. There'll be a local office near to you. If you contact them, they would be happy to talk to you to ensure that you set yourself up in a manner in which you have become impregnable from attack, simply because we will be guiding you in the direction of our experience and skills instead of simply taking a chance.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. A pleasure. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.